Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Hour 3, Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe George is back. I'm Paul Gallant. And you know who else is back? Clay Walker knows.
Ooh. Is it time?
Huh. When isn't it time?
That's a good point. It's always football time.
It's football time in Houston. And we're ready to play.
I made a
vow. There's no time to lose now. It's red, white, and blue today.
I made a vow to myself while I was on vacation.
What is this vow?
No, I didn't go very far there.
You're going to memorize the lyrics?
But I told myself that when I get back from vacation, I'm going to sing more with Paul.
Yeah, you're in musical theater.
I feel like I've left you stranded a lot.
You have. It's made me feel awkward.
And
it's made our listeners think I'm gay.
I don't think that's why. But I'm gonna do my part and join you more. And then we just gotta get Sean in line too when he gets, you know.
Sean will never sing.
Out of his cave.
Austin, will you sing with us?
I might be enticed.
You might be enticed. Right. That's more. That's more.
That's more than we get from Sean.
It's way more.
Like Sean says, he does the Texas Swarm. I can't even hear him when he does it. He's so quiet.
He's a little. Well, also, I'm really loud when I do the Texas Swarm for our Deep Steel Blue Pills.
Yeah, John and Lance said we have the oddest show on the station. I'm guessing that's because of you. But
why is it the oddest show on the station?
He says we say odd things.
What are those odd things?
Am I guessing our takes, or just, you know, British accent / Australian accents?
What? Well, yeah.
But I think I think it's a compliment.
Sorry, we're original. It happens, but I love those.
No, so. I think it's a compliment. I mean,
is it a compliment?
Yeah, because they were talking about Ken.
We're playing. You know what? We haven't even talked about Ken Hoffman, and I feel horrible about this. For those who don't know, Ken Hoffman, who is a part of Culture Map here, but also just a writer in Houston for a really long time, he passed away over the weekend, and. He's not somebody that I ever really got to know, but I did a couple of interviews with him for a couple of different things, generally all of them on Culture Map. And I know he touched so many people's lives here at Gal Media, but also across Houston. It just absolutely sucks to see him pass away so suddenly. I saw some great tributes from Raheel, from Lance.
Mm-hmm. There's some great stuff on Culture Map. John has a couple stories in there, too.
Yeah, God, it's a bummer.
Ken was awesome.
I liked how he truly tried to do everything Houston in a way that I feel like I need to do myself. But considering he also is a transplant Northeasterner, he came down here and I mean, the guy loved this place. And the last thing that he wrote was, I thought, fantastic, where he just dumped on Centerpoint and everyone that's keeping us from getting our power back. So
yeah, that was a great article, like knowing Ken a little bit. And like, I didn't know Ken great. But I got to know him starting in 2017 when I was producing on, we still had 1560 operational at the time. And I was Charlie Pillow's producer, and he would come on with Charlie every week. And I love Ken. I mean, he was awesome to me. He's one of my favorite people I've met in the business because, like you know how this business is, Paul. Like, it's like, it's kind of dog eat dog in a lot of ways and not very supportive. And
understatement.
To say the least. And for really no reason at all, like whether it was like, not to name drop our main competitor, but whether I was working with Matt Thomas or when I was working with Charlie, like Ken was just so awesome to me for really no reason. And was like him and Kevin Eschenfelder, like the two people who have told me that I'm good at this. And I only got to see Ken once since I came back. He wasn't in the office much. It was awesome to see him. It really sucks that we lost him, but I love that what his last article was.
Yeah, it was great.
Because it was very Ken. And like when I moved to Houston in 2015, like I grew up reading the Chicago Tribune, and people were always like, that's how you know a city is based on writers. So when I moved here, I asked around, like, who do I read? And everyone said him. So it was awesome getting to work with him as much as I did, which like wasn't a ton, but I just loved being part of the same company as him in two separate stints. It's rest in peace and sorry to his family because it's a huge loss.
He was Houston's best writer.
Yeah.
I mean, at least the one who was still putting things out there. I truly don't even know who would be second. So, our T's and P's to his family. And clearly he touched so many people. So anyway, the side tangent that we went on after John and Lance are saying.
Oh, but Dell was asking, is any show as weird as what Ken and Raheel were?
Mm-hmm.
And then John's only option was us, because I mean we are like the only real odd option.
Why are we odd option, Joe?
I don't know. I think
is it because Joe flees the
city? Because I'm a runner.
During Hurricane Beryl.
To be fair, I was here for the whole hurricane, not for the cleanup. But I was on my phone all the time.
Joe went to Disney World
for a day. Yes,
during the cleanup of Hurricane Beryl, and due to technical difficulties, it seems like Joe was gone the entire time.
That's true.
Joe actually wasn't gone the entire time, but
I really can't believe it's been 15 days since I've done a radio show. It's crazy.
Yeah,
I was kind of bored. Not while I was in Florida.
No, you were bored at Disney World. Admit it.
No, Disney World's incredible.
Admit it.
It's so hot.
Your son had a good time.
He did.
You did not have a good time. You were in Orlando, Florida. I used to go to Disney World a couple of times a year because it was an hour and a half away when I was living in St. Pete, Florida. It sucks.
We were in Destin, is technically where we were.
Oh.
So just outside.
I think, no, the Astros were in Kissimmee for a little bit before they moved to West Palm Beach.
That's right, yeah.
West Palm Beach, better than Kissimmee. In fact, that entire area, that entire county, I think it's Polk County.
Uh-huh.
Can kiss my ass. I hate that place. That referee from Orlando stole one of my high school football games in my senior year. I had back-to-back fourth down plays where I knocked the ball out of a receiver's hands going over the middle, and either it was a fumble or an incomplete pass on both of these fourth and tens where I just lit this effer up, and both times the referee ruled that it was a complete catch. There was no way in hell that it was. We ended up losing the game on the last play of the game on, like, it was a fourth and one, and they did a QB bootleg, and the guy got in, and I was so pissed after the game. I threw my helmet as far as I've ever thrown it before because I was so mad. Like I knocked the ball out. I will never let those two plays go. F Orlando. It's the Orlando refs. They were biased against a superior city with superior football talent for daring to play a game against their trash-ass school. Trinity Prep can kiss my ass. So can IMG. F them all.
At one point, we thought we were not going to make it back to Houston when we originally planned because of a delay. And my first thought was like, well, if I got nothing to do, like maybe I'll take a car and go drive to Paul Gallant's high school and ask people about you and see if I could get anyone to say they know you.
Definitely not. Definitely
but
not.
But I figured I knew I still had the YouTube clip from that one play. And just be like, this is the biggest moment in your high school's history.
No, that was. I mean, it's the most viral moment in our high school football history.
Like, so what do you know about this guy who pushes him out of the end zone? What do you know?
Yeah, they'd be like, who? Who's that? Yeah, I don't even know if we have a football team anymore, to be perfectly honest.
Well, that's so sad.
Yeah, it actually bums me out a lot. Anyway, it is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yes, it's the Thursday after the All-Star game, but the Houston Texans are back at training camp. And here's what happened today. Nothing.
CJ Stroud threw passes.
He did. Mm-hmm. Also, Joe Mixon didn't wear gloves.
Boom. No gloves.
Kate Stover also didn't wear gloves.
Will Anderson? Jacked.
A lot bigger.
Saw that. Pro Football Talk told me that. Didn't even have to watch a video.
Nick Caserio? Didn't wear a vest.
Nick Caserio? Said Paul Gallant. Ask great questions.
I did, but I do. I mean, that's what I'm known for.
Yeah.
I'm one of the most important reporters in the history of the world because I have, from time to time, asked people like Bill O'Brien and Lovie Smith and D'Amico Ryan's questions.
But not David Culley?
No, I never. There's no point in going. There is absolutely no point in going. So, yeah, it was a slow day. The thing that I think is most interesting about the Texans in training camp right now is this. It's that the secondary has some real questions, and there are veteran options available, and I think they should make a move on one of them. But that is something that does not necessarily need to happen now because, I mean, shoot, it's mid-July. There's plenty of weeks left in training camp, and then, of course, you have the entire preseason, we are so far from the start of the year.
Yeah, I mean, especially because they play four preseason games. They're the only, they're one of two teams in the NFL doing that. You could see these guys signed before week three of the preseason. You might see them. There's a week gap between the third preseason game and then that final one in the week one of the NFL season. So you could see guys signed then. Mm-hmm. I mean, and a lot of it is going to depend on injuries. Where do you think the Texans depends on injuries at all? Like if not Lassiter, let's say Okuda gets hurt.
You think the Texans depend on injuries?
To sign someone? To sign a corner specifically?
No, I don't think it should.
Safety, I would say it does. I don't think they're going to sign a safety unless Ward or Petrie got hurt.
That makes sense. There is clearly a void at number two corner. I don't know what the details are for any of the guys that they have on the roster, but mm-hmm. I know Kamari Lassiter as a second-round pick isn't making a ton. I know that Jeffrey Okuda and CJ Henderson, given that they're on their third team in 4 years, both of them, even though they are former top 10 picks, I doubt they are making a ton. You're going to have to pay a pretty penny to probably bring somebody in on like a one-year contract, and I don't know how much it would cost, but we're probably talking like $10 million a year at least or something mm-hmm. like that. Maybe you do a two-year deal and you, the second year is a void year or something like that. But you can do better than what you currently have. And if it's not going to be Steven Nelson, why can't it be Stephon Gilmore, who Nick Caserio has some familiarity with? I think that the Texans should be looking at those options. But there's no pressure to make that move happen now. And I think if you're one of these veteran players, like this is easily a move that could happen mid-August, like
yeah.
a month from now entirely. And I'd still, you know, be happy about it. But I do think it needs to happen over the next 5 weeks. Like that is a whole. And I think today, the brief moments where I saw Kamari Lassiter against Tank Dell, Kamari Lassiter, for now, day one of training camp, looked overmatched.
The one thing I was surprised about going today, just because it's not necessarily a today thing, but I did think going into this point in the offseason that one of the, you know, Robert Woods, John Mechies of the worlds would be cut at this point. Mm. I didn't think they were going to start camp with all these wide receivers, and they just signed another one 2 days ago, but that's really like a special yeah. teams, you know, move at this point. I just didn't think Robert Woods was going to make the training camp roster. So that kind of intrigues me a little bit because it makes me wonder, you know, who's really on the chopping block. Because I just seemed like he was such a foregone conclusion in everyone's mind of this guy was going to get cut. He was going to be a cap save, and he wasn't. So
yeah, not yet. I mean, I saw him out there. Look, he was a number one wide receiver not that long ago. Mm-hmm. I think the idea that he's washed and is like an easy person to get rid of. He's easy to get rid of because of the cap figure, but I mean, I understand that some people are like, hey, if you get down the depth chart, you would like to have somebody with a little more upside and potential, but I don't know. I mean, if you're going into this year with three guys that are ready to go right away, and one of those gets hurt, I'd rather have somebody that's ready to go that's proven it before.
Yeah. Could it be Noah Brown? I think there's any chance they brought him back and he just ends up getting cut by a training camp?
I truly do not know, because the special teams also throws a big wrinkle in it too.
When yeah.
Steven Sims with the kick return, the punt return touchdown against the Ravens in the playoff game. I mean, he does bring some value there. Do you have that from some of your other wide receivers? So I don't know who's going to be the last one off the board, but you know, with the guys that they have, like John Mechie and Robert Woods and Noah Brown after Stephon Diggs and after Dell and Collins. Yeah, so one of them's probably gone.
Yeah.
Who it is, I don't know. Stephon Diggs, signing him changed the equation. But, I mean, yeah, you have so many wide receivers right now.
One of my other questions for Texans training camp, my first one was who complains about the heat first? This one almost is like two sides of it.
Who's question number four?
I'm most curious yours and other media members' perspective of the new kickoff return when you get to see it. Because it's one of the biggest reasons why I might try to go to training camp actually this year.
I
want to see it in action because everyone's talking about how it's going to be this explosive play. They're going to make plays for it. It's going to matter this year. I'm just curious,
I think,
honestly.
It's being overstated on
I
that
I think
front.
So, too.
I think that there will be some people who try creative stuff this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
But once the regular season starts, I think all of this talk is going to be for naught. There will be more kickoff returns for sure, but some teams are probably going to think to themselves, you know what, like, we don't want to risk injury. Let's just boot it out of the back of the end zone. You know?
Yeah.
Like, is it like, oh, the 25-yard line, is that really going to hurt us versus like the possibility of a return for a touchdown? Because, I mean, honestly, I would look at it from this perspective. How many things can go bad if we do this?
That's a good question.
More bad things can happen
than good.
Than good.
Yeah.
If you kick the ball off.
But, like, just listening to people talk about it.
You can't even do the onside kick anymore.
Yeah, which is awful because you have to tell them before. It's so stupid that they didn't change that rule. They should have done the 4th and 15 play. It would have been so much better than having to just tell the other team that an onside kick was coming. But, like, you listen to – I know this isn't really your thing, but you listen to people start talking about fantasy football already this year. And the one thing that all these fantasy football people keep trying to bring up is how – at the end of drafts, you should be targeting kick returners because they believe that there's going to be more touchdowns and more scoring from that position this year. I just don't really buy it. So I kind of just want to see it in action and just like see honestly what it looks like. I'm fascinated.
This is like, Joe's like saying like, I can't understand the words that are being written about it. So like, hey man, like let's see it in action first. Listen, I get it.
Yeah.
As someone who's too lazy to read, you know, I get it.
Well, they keep talking about how the XFL thought it was this great thing, and then they made their new league, and they got rid of it. Like, they didn't do it in this UFL.
Work. Yeah, you're right.
So I'm like, why is it this grand idea if the league who had it was like, eh, like, we're not going to do that.
Good question.
So we'll see how it goes.
So that's Joe's fourth biggest question. We still got three big questions from Joe George for Houston Texans in training camp. Other things to talk about in the last hour of the show. Someone's finally taking it to the airlines. About damn time. History was made in a sport we're all watching with very close eyes. And a bunch of foreigners are calling out the actual world champions of the United States of America. Build a wall. It is Gallant and George. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Second half of the Astros season begins tomorrow against the Mariners in Seattle. 9 o'clock first pitch with Hunter Brown on the hill for Houston. Texans training camp is underway as well. Rather slow day today. I was out there a little bit earlier. Joe is back. You know, a lot of people accuse me of being a xenophobe on this show. And I don't care. I don't care. You know, I thought it was ridiculous when people got mad about Alperen Şengün being called the Turkish stiff,
mm-hmm.
as if that is bad.
It's okay. That fan base is Looney Tunes.
Well, I would just say that country should really seriously take a look in the mirror and wonder what xenophobia is given the whole Armenian thing. But hey, there's another thing going on. This is in Eastern Europe too. Ergin Ataman is the head coach of EuroLeague champion Panathinaikos, which I think is in Greece.
Yes.
He said this of the world champion Boston Celtics, the best team in the entire world when it comes to basketball. If you want the world champion title, come and beat us in OAKA. I have no idea what that means.
I'm going to guess like that's their stadium.
It's not a city in Greece. I don't know. They have a different alphabet. So I'm not 100% sure of what. But I get so annoyed when people get pissed off about American sports teams claiming the title of world champion. Because we're talking about club teams. And come on, guys. The best basketball in the world is played in the United States of America. Why do these other countries think that they have a leg to stand on? And why do people here, these well actually people that probably would root against the United States in the Olympics in the coming weeks, why do these people feel the need to say, well, actually, they're really just the champions of the United States of America?
Yeah, I think it's stupid that, like, first of all, now the idea behind this is not terrible.
It is terrible.
But it's complicated because, like, what rules do you play under? Who do you actually know is the world champion? Because I don't know, like, is the EuroLeague the best league? Maybe it is. But you are the world champions because the best players all play here. They don't choose to play here. They go there because they're not wanted here, because they can make more money there. Hi, Patrick Beverley just turned down a mid-level contract, entry-level contract, whatever it is, from the Houston Rockets to play in Israel.
But I get that. I mean, they give him the bag, and two,
they do
always be podcasting, and Patrick Beverley is going to talk about Hamas now.
Yes.
So, I mean, like, he's playing chess and everyone else is playing checkers.
But, like, the world champions are here because the best players are here. Like, this isn't – like, it's the same thing with the MLS. You could call yourselves the world champions if you want, if you win the Premier League, because the MLS doesn't really matter compared to that. It's not the same level of competition. It's a way to get yourselves in the headlines. I honestly don't hate the idea. I think it would be interesting to
– I'd love to see the Celtics play this Parthenakos or whatever.
Yeah.
And just absolutely destroy them.
Yeah, like play them in.
Run up the score.
Have them play instead of 82 games in the NBA season next year, have them play 81. How about this in-season tournament? You could do the in-season tournament winner plays whoever won the EuroLeague the year before.
Like,
that'd be fine.
The in-season tournament actually featuring international games would actually
that be would be awesome.
Cool, I think it would be fun because those teams would clearly take the professional teams as seriously as possible, and we might not. So there's a chance that on a night where, I don't know, say Kawhi Leonard decides I'm not playing, well, hey, all of a sudden they've got a chance against the Los Angeles Clippers and James Harden.
Yeah, like that'd be fine. But also, world champions. See what's going to happen in starting in 10 days when, like, probably no one is within Team USA by 25 points in a basketball game.
Yeah, so. It seems like they're ramping it up. They killed Serbia last night, I think. So, in the U.S., we got the best basketball in the world.
Fact. Best baseball.
It's only noteworthy if, well, yeah, we have the only baseball. Actually, check that. We don't even have the best baseball in the world anymore, necessarily.
I do know a couple of these guys actually on this roster, though.
You do?
Jerian Grant?
Yeah.
He's on.
Is he your friend?
No, he played for.
Oh, but you said you know him.
Well, I know who they are. I know their names.
Oh.
Kendrick Nunn? I know him. He played at Illinois.
Okay.
In the NBA.
Cool.
That's all I got. Oh, Wancho? That's not how you say his name.
I have no idea what Hernan you're talking
Gomez,
about right now.
The Pathinaikos team?
Oh, the Pathinaikos team.
Yeah.
Okay. I was about to say, like, wait, is this USA? I was like,
no,
they're in trouble then.
No. These are guys that are on that team. Kendrick Nunn, who can't play in the NBA. Probably their starting point guard. Not really scared if I'm Team USA or the Boston Celtics.
Celtics would kill him. Also, Terrell Davis is trying to kill United Airlines. And you know what? I'm a fan of this. Now, I don't know if you saw this, Joe, the other day, but there was an incident where Terrell Davis was on a plane. His child wanted a cup with ice.
Okay.
He tapped on the back of a flight attendant's arm, and the flight attendant, a man, said, "Don't hit me." And when the plane landed, this is United Airlines flight, Terrell Davis was taken into custody and arrested for a little bit of time. After said custody concluded, it was determined that the flight attendant overreacted.
You think?
This flight attendant has been suspended indefinitely as they investigate the incident. Terrell Davis is now looking to sue United Airlines.
He's probably going to win a lot of money.
I think he is. Here's the question. So, screw the airline, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if Terrell Davis wins this lawsuit, is this going to make United Airlines flights more expensive?
Probably.
So, should we root for United Airlines to win this lawsuit?
Oh.
In this disgusting display of injustice, which Terrell Davis, his wife and attorney, called it on CBS Good Morning yesterday?
That's a good question. I'm going to say no, because I'm never going to root for an airline.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of like United Airlines.
I do, too.
I mean, they gave me Stroopwafel once. I said, like, hey, can I get a second Stroopwafel on the plane? They wouldn't give it to me on the plane, but then they mailed me a package of Stroopwafel.
Seriously?
Yeah, they mailed it to me.
But why wouldn't they just give you another one on the plane?
They were out, apparently.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good reason.
That's at least what they said. I mean, they might have been lying.
That's going really above and beyond to be out of it on the plane and to send it to someone. That's really nice.
Yeah, I mean, they had the one bad thing where they dragged that one guy off of the plane.
Yeah.
Like that's the bad moment. But United, for the most part, it's been good for me.
I like United.
I do, too.
So, I would, if this is going to have to fight... flights go up, I'm gonna. Sorry, Terrell, I'm against you.
Yeah.
Because like a lot of times I'll fly Southwest, but they're talking about getting rid of the first come first serve, seating.
Yeah, good.
I like that.
Oh, what are you like Group A or something?
No, I just would. If you just check in on time, you're at least going to be in Group B.
Check in on time, you will not at least be in Group B. You'll be in Group C.
No, you're mostly in Group B.
I'm a Southwest Card Rewards member, bitch. And when I try to log in and when I try to check in, you know what happens? You know what happens? I always in C. I'm a member.
Pay the extra $40.
That's so stupid.
Get an A.
What a waste of money.
I mean, it's the same as flying United, probably.
No, it's a waste of money.
You just don't see the $40.
I think first class is a waste of money, too.
Never done it.
I've done it before. I mean, it was okay.
Was it a long flight?
You get free drinks. It was a long flight.
Okay, see, I feel like it'd be like a huge waste of money to do for like a three-hour flight.
You get more space, but it's so much more. I mean, listen, this is. I do own a condo, but I don't have that much muda, and the idea of flying first class is just, it's a crazy one to me.
Yeah.
Save that money.
I did get stuck at the airport for like 6 hours on Monday because there was a
which airport?
Orlando.
Oh God!
Because there was damage.
Hell in hell.
There was damage to the runway in Houston at Hobby, which like that's a good reason to not land there for a while. Somehow they fixed it. Apparently they could fix a damaged runway in a couple hours, but yeah, we got delayed for quite a while.
Oh, that's no bueno.
Yeah, with a 3-year-old, not great.
He didn't throw any hot dogs at anybody this time?
No, he did not. No hot dogs thrown.
No, throw any food at anybody?
No, he had a great trip.
He had a great trip?
He was a well-behaved child.
No crying at all?
Lots of crying. Most of the crying was trying to get into Disney World. He was great on the airplanes. We just read books to him.
Okay.
He was fine.
What was the issue with Disney World? The lines?
It's the line to get onto the monorail.
Oh, yeah.
Once we got past that and we got into the park, we were fine.
Okay.
But trying to get onto the monorail was tough. To the point where I wasn't sure we were going to make it to the park.
Oh, boy.
And then we got into the park and we were fine. But that was stressful.
That would stress me,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that was stressful.
Just trying to get there. So you were staying at a hotel that was like on the property that takes...
No, we did an Airbnb.
Oh, an Airbnb.
But we got to the parking and then you got on the monorail to go past the hotel. So yeah, that was stressful. I did not like... I forgot that's how you got into Disney. It's been so long.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
I haven't been in a while either. The last time I went was like, I think my senior year of high school. It's been a while. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Questions on the table for Texans training camp. Yodney will try to answer them on top of that, too. Going forward in the second half of the season for the Houston Astros, what's the key to their success? What do they have to do other than winning games? Plus, history was made in everyone's favorite sport last night. Stick around, Gallant and George.
ESPN 97.5.
I got what it takes to rock the mic right, yeah.
Rock the Mic is back.
This is gonna be good.
And it's time to find the newest Houston sports podcast. The winner of Rock the Mic will receive a podcast hosted on the ESPN Houston YouTube channel.
Really? What, the YouTube?
Whether you host a podcast currently or have always wanted to start one, now's your chance. To enter, send a 3 to 5 minute video giving your best Houston sports take to rockthemic975@gmail.com. That's rockthemic975@gmail.com. Enter solo or with a co-host. The winner will be announced at our live finale on Friday, August 23rd at Carbach Brewery. So send your entries in now to rockthemic975@gmail.com.
Got what it takes to rock the mic right.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
From the text line on the 409, if Terrell Davis wins his lawsuit against United, will the United States, or I'm guessing United Airlines, have to order replacement parts from TEMU? I mean, doesn't Boeing already do that?
Basically.
I hope Boeing doesn't kill me in the parking lot for saying that, but I mean, that seems like they have been, as they say, cutting corners.
You watch the Boeing doc on Netflix?
I do not want to watch that. In the same way, I do not want to know what is happening to my food behind the scenes at a restaurant. I do not want to know how my planes are made. I just want to go up in the air with no anxiety, fall asleep. If bleep hits the fan, so be it.
Yeah, you're going to be. You want me?
I want to be out cold. If the thing has some issues,
you don't want to know about it.
I'm totally cool just going out in my sleep.
If we start going down, just don't wake me up at all.
Don't wake me up. Don't wake me up. I don't even want to think about it.
The problem is, I think you're going to wake up from the turbulence, which I think that might be worse. Like you're going to wake up mid about to die.
Unless you're like deep in a dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
A good dream, hopefully.
Hopefully a good dream.
I've had some bizarre dreams over the course of the past week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had a very bizarre one featuring a former ESPN 97.5 host. I have no idea why. No. It's someone I've never interacted with at all.
It's
really bizarre.
A former Charlie?
Yeah, not even kidding. Not even kidding. It was the most bizarre. I was like, what is going on? It was like a random discussion about like tennis or something like that. I honestly have no idea. It's one of the randomest dreams I think I've ever had in my life.
That's what happens when you don't have internet.
Yeah, it does.
You just, your mind starts spinning, and then when you go to sleep, you just have bizarre dreams.
Some people are texting it wasn't an erotic dream. Well, that's for me and I guess now you to know.
Mm.
But some things we keep to ourselves.
Okay? Did anyone ask about the roof today?
At NRG Stadium? Yeah.
I know Nick Cassero can't really answer that question, but he might have an answer.
I don't know, but I hope they don't repair it. I think it will add a nice little home field advantage.
Just a couple of rain spots.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be like Jerry World.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry World back in the day was sort of inside, but if it snowed, which it did in that one Cowboys-Dolphins game, then the snow actually makes it into the stadium. I like it. The hole in the roof so that God can see it, as he described it. So, Texas training camp began today. Nothing really noteworthy to take away. We'll probably respond to more of the things that were said there yesterday, because I left before all of the press conferences, D'Amico Ryans, C.J. Stroud, what they had to say. But there was some history made yesterday.
Really?
In one of our favorite sports, Joe. A sport that is taking America by storm to the point that they just got themselves a $200 million TV rights deal.
$2.2 billion.
Was that
$2.2 billion?
$200 million.
$200 million?
$200 million a year.
$200 million a year. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
I didn't know how long the deal was.
I didn't either, and honestly, I mean, I'm shocked that they're making it that much.
$2.2 billion sounds a lot better than $200 million a year. Mm-hmm. When you just say it surface level, $2.2 billion.
And you know why that money's coming into the league?
Angel Reese.
Though she did have an awesome double-double streak, which
fake news
was aided by the amount of bunny layups she misses and then collects her own rebound. Go 5-for-17 from the field. You get all of those rebounds and you put them back up. Hey, guess what happens? You're going to get a double-double. Caitlin Clark broke the WNBA record for assists in a game with 19 last night in the Indiana Fever's 101-93 road loss to the Dallas Wings. Stats are for losers, the final scores for winners, but shout out to Caitlin Clark, who broke the record set by Courtney Vandersloot.
Who?
That's her last name. Courtney Vandersloot. S L O O T. No, Joe. Yeah. Not S L U T. The way that you were cheekily laughing, you thought her last name was Vandersloot.
Me?
Not Vandersloot.
Me?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I don't know, Joe.
No,
I saw how you reacted to me saying her actual name.
A giggles in there was making me laugh. I saw Austin. It's Austin's fault.
Yeah, no one laughed except for you. It's fine. You think that women are funny and you think that their names are funny.
I think names can be funny.
You think it's funny that they play sports too. And
no.
It's okay. You're allowed to be sexist. You
Fake
know,
news.
It's fine. But Courtney Vandersloot's record is no more because Caitlin Clark, she got it.
Did you have a rebuttal, Austin? I thought I saw a rebuttal coming.
No, I think we all know the truth here.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Remember that the next time I make the schedule, Austin.
Fake Tony Stark says only 19 in a league that's over 20 years old. Well, maybe they keep statistics a little bit more accurately than
that. Yeah, you know, I mean, they're true to the game. They're not like Russell Westbrook, you know, padding stats, Denver Nuggets. Russell Westbrook soon to be, apparently.
Yeah, big news.
Yeah, he got traded to the Jazz. He's going to get cut and be a Denver Nugget. Hell see how that works. But it's I'm sure she would have liked a W instead of just an assist record. That's nice. You know, apparently, Paul, they're doing Team WNBA versus Team USA for their All-Star game this year, actually.
What?
So Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese can get a victory over Team USA and really show who's boss. That's actually interesting. I know that doesn't work with the NBA calendar, but also, like, you have, like, Jokic. It's basically, like, the world versus Team USA. I guess they try to do that. But, yeah, WNBA basketball, still in our lives.
It's always going to be in our lives. It's arrived.
ESPN's going to launch a WNBA show, apparently.
I know you're going to watch it.
Nope.
Why aren't you going to? Whoa, you're not, so you don't support women?
I do support women.
Doesn't sound very supportive.
I can't get over these Angel Reese highlights. They're so bad.
Well, you are watching them, so you are watching the WNBA.
Because I laugh.
Angel Reese.
Like, what Caitlin Clark and what a lot of the other players do is impressive. This whole Angel Reese thing, where she's bricking layups, and they're comically bad, and then getting rebounds, and then it's 4-on-1 to stop her from scoring, to stop her double-double streak. It's not for me. It's not for me.
Well,
there's nothing wrong with that.
You don't appreciate ball, and it's okay.
You're right.
You do not appreciate ball, though. You think that ball should only be played by those with balls. And it's you know what? Everyone's entitled to an opinion. It's the United States of America, but, I mean, here we are.
Here we are.
By the way, WNBA All-Star Game?
Uh-huh.
It's coming up this weekend.
So it's this weekend that's happening.
And I got to say, I'm a little concerned for Pitbull, Dale. Pitbull is now the main attraction for, number one, Texas's introduction to the SEC.
Yes.
And number two, the WNBA halftime show. Dale.
I still can't believe they had him for the UT thing. It's just bizarre to me.
I can. I mean, UT's got money. But the WNBA getting Pitbull is surprising to me.
I mean, they just spent all their money then.
All those $200 million they just
got? That's Pitbull.
Just down the toilet.
Come on in.
To a worthy cause. My bad. He's Joe. I'm Paul. It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Quote of the year from the Houston Texans. You will hear it on the other side. This could backfire spectacularly. What are we talking about? Stick around.
Are you ready to get in shape? Are you ready to put on some muscle, lean out? What are your goals for your health in 2024? O-Athletic is a great place to figure out what they are. Talk to a personal trainer. They'll do a consultation with you just to figure out what the best plan is for your size, your body type, all that stuff. They can help you out, figure out what your goals are. So whether you want to put on muscle, lean out, just lose a bunch of weight, I can't recommend O-Athletic enough. Over 100 classes per week. You've got all the recovery features you want from the endless pool, the sauna, the steam room. Everything you possibly need is there for you at O-Athletic. Check them out, 767 North Shepherd, oathletic.com, and tell them that Joe George sent you by.
You're listening to ESPN 96.
Hotel room. BestHotelRates.com. It's in the name.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Texans training camp kicked off this afternoon at Houston Texans training camp. Not a lot went down, but a lot was said. You had Nick Caserio saying that we don't care about anything that happens outside what's said outside. We had D'Amico Ryan saying, you rookies, you better show up. But this is the quote that has the potential to be the words of a prophet or to be the Philadelphia Eagles, we're the dream team quote by Vince Young. C.J. Stroud was asked about the Texans' offense going into this year.
I watch a little bit of everybody around the league. You know, I watch Buffalo, I watch the Rams, I watch Minnesota, I watch Kansas City. Lions are a great team to watch offensively. So I learn from everybody. Steph is somebody who definitely can open up your playbook. But we have all of those guys around. He'll say that too, you know. So it's five-headed monster, you know. So it's definitely a super dope to have, you know, just a bunch of options.
C.J. Stroud just called the Houston Texans offense, after waiting a second to say it, a five-headed monster.
Look, you know what I hear, Paul? I see a man. I hear a man that's humble about his teammates. Let's do some math here on Gallant and George.
Okay.
Nico Collins is one.
Yeah.
Tank Dell is two.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs is three.
Yeah.
Robert Woods is four. John Mechie is five. Dalton Schultz is six. Joe Mixon is seven.
Wow, Joe Mixon is behind.
Cade Stover is eight.
I feel like some of the guys that you're bringing up, though, you got the order wrong.
I didn't say I was going in order.
Well, okay, but listen,
I'm just saying this is an eight-headed monster at minimum.
It's a five-headed monster. Come on.
He's being humble. He doesn't want to say eight.
He's calling their offense a monster. And, Joe, this is flying in the face of what you were saying weeks ago, that you're getting a little tired of the Houston Texans talking about the Houston Texans.
Well, this is different because this is in a
press
conference.
He called them a five-headed monster.
I know.
Unprompted. They didn't say, like, this is the greatest offense of all time. He said it's a five-headed monster.
They're confident.
Monster implies terrifying for the entire world. And look, we all look at it on paper, and we might agree with that. But I thought, Joe, that you would look at this and think to yourself, I don't know.
I hear a humble man.
You hear a humble man calling his offense a five-headed monster.
Yeah, he could go way more than that if he wanted to.
You think
he's probably not even including himself in that.
You think he could have said eight-headed monster. Well, who are the five heads?
I think I'm assuming he's just talking about the wide receiver room, actually.
It could be that.
Because I'm thinking like five would be Nico, Tank, Diggs, Mechie, Woods. That's your five. I'm assuming that's what he means by that, right?
I don't know. I bet a lot of his teammates are wondering, am I one of the five heads?
Is C.J. Stroud causing locker room controversy?
He could. Does Cade Stover think he's already one of the five heads? Does Dalton Schultz think he's still one of the five heads? I feel like the five-headed monster is probably in this order. One, Tank Dell.
Ooh,
two,
interesting.
Nico Collins. Three, Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. Four, Dalton Schultz. Five, Joe Mixon.
Yeah, I would agree. I would probably, in my head, I flip Nico and Tank, but I do think Tank's going to end up being the primary guy for CJ.
I think Tank is the guy that Stroud's going to look to when everything goes wrong. I think Nico Collins is somebody that every now and then he's just going to say, all right, figure it out. And Diggs, I don't know. Diggs had a couple of nice moments today. Camp, he had a nice comeback in front of Derek Stingley for a reception and a first down in 7-on-7s. But I am curious to see what it's all going to look like. But that is the big news today as far as quotes. It's on the front page of ESPN.
It's the number one headline.
CJ Stroud calls Houston Texans offense five-headed monster.
I mean, he's giving out quotes, man. The next thing on ESPN, for at least mine, because, you know, algorithm, is Corey Dillon on Bengals honor. Time heals everything. CJ Stroud, headline maker. Confirmed.
Yeah, that's true. Corey Dillon is a Patriot legend, not a Bengals legend, because he won a Super Bowl with the Patriots, but it's fine.
Oh, I forgot he did.
Yeah, he was awesome.
I forgot he was on the roster when they won. Because
his best career year with the Patriots.
He was like very 1,600 good. I love Corey Dillon.
Corey. Back in the old Maddens, he was one of the first players that if he did well, the crowd would actually chant his name.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it actually was.
That actually is really cool.
Back in the day.
It's so funny, like, looking back at video games, like, seeing a lot of the college football.
20 years ago.
Yeah. And growing up, you think they're incredible. Mm-hmm. And then you look back at them now, and it's so bad.
Oh, no. I think that today's games, for a while, struggle and pale in comparison to some of the older ones.
Well, I mean, from a visual perspective, sorry.
Honestly, I don't even think the visuals are
really
that much worse. If we're talking early 2000s, I think Madden 03, 04 compared to Madden today, I don't think there's that much of a difference.
Oh, man. I think, yeah, there's some of these.
They run in a much more natural fashion in the earlier Maddens than they ran in the new game.
No, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, they all kind of have this long, blocky gait. It doesn't really look right. at least to me. But yeah, five-headed monster for the Houston Texans offense. It is the fifth headline on ESPN after one. Dodgers, Ohtani, open 2025 against Cubs in Tokyo.
Gross.
Why are we shipping all these jobs out of the United States? Three, Bronny becomes popular pick for Rookie of the Year.
Oh, that's why legalized gambling's bad sometimes.
Two, Westbrook to Nuggets after Clips trade. One, ranking the top 100 pro athletes of the 21st century, which we will dive into on tomorrow's show. We're spacing out the content. There's no games to talk about. But he is Joe George. I am Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time for a little garbage time before we wrap things up.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah, I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Terrell Owens, back in the news.
Texans?
He was at a Texans event not that long ago that C.J. Stroud was at and Kyle McNair was at. Terrell Owens was on the infamous Bubba Dub show. And on the Bubba Dub show, Terrell Owens told Bubba Dub that he was trying to play for the Bucks 2.5 years ago after Antonio Brown abruptly left in the middle of the 2021 season. But Tom Brady ignored him. Quote, Tom Brady ignored me. End quote. The year that AB went crazy, continued Owens. They just needed somebody to fill some holes with AB leaving at the receiver position. I reached out to him through Randy and some other people just to come in and play third down in red zone situations. This dude ignored me. It just shows you the lack of respect there. But then when they get in front of you, they want to act like they respect you. Terrell Owens was 48 and hadn't played in the NFL since he had been cut by the Seahawks a decade earlier.
I love this story. This is such a T.O. story, to do that at 48 and then to make Tom Brady the bad guy in the situation.
And to talk about it 2.5 years later.
Like,
great teammate, Terrell Owens, one of the best of all time.
Like, what is Tom supposed to say? Hey, dude, you're a dinosaur. Reach out to my GM.
That's who we should have reached out to. And, I mean, the other thing is, too, even if Terrell Owens is still in incredible shape, and he is, I think that if you're trying to get back on a football field at age 50 at a skill position, you're probably not going to be able to get back on that field. No one wants to deal with the headache sideshow that comes with you even at age 48, because it does not seem like Terrell Owens has become any more mature.
Yeah, imagine what him meeting with the media would have been like.
It would have been a lot.
Yeah.
An OnlyFans star who spent thousands to transform herself into a human Barbie doll believes that her boobs intimidate men so much they've made her love life a flop. She took to social media to tell her followers that her huge breasts mean potential lovers rarely manage anything but cuddles because they get nervous. Despite having 5 operations and dishing out upwards of 50,000 euros on surgery, she finds that her own romantic endeavor seemed to have taken a hit. Have you seen what she looks like, Joe?
Yeah.
Those are...
Let's put it this way.
Do you want to guess the size of the breasts?
I read it already.
They're 75N.
I'm going to try to describe this for the audience, right?
They're like 2 beach balls.
I got a 5'6" wingspan.
Yep.
I probably couldn't touch her back.
Yeah, I don't think you can touch her back. I don't think I can touch her back.
Not going to happen.
I'm not sure that Reed Shepard can touch her back.
50K?
Spent 50,000 on him. There's a certain point where when they look that comical, maybe you need to stop.
I went too far. This is your fault. No sympathy here.
I didn't know that there was a size N for boobs. I also didn't know that there was a size 75. Like, I've heard of 34, 35.
Does it go to
36.
Z?
Well, she's at N.
So many questions.
I don't know how she puts on shirts.
I don't either.
Can't sleep on your stomach like that. Your back's going to be bent backwards.
No, you'd be propped up.
Yes, forever. Desert Stroh says it's a recipe for back problems and then some. So there you go, guys.
Yeah, she made a poor decision here.
Some people like it.
Clearly not. She said she can't date.
Because it's, listen, she's just got to approach them herself.
Yeah, you know what? Cowards.
Who doesn't want to date a comic book character?
Yeah.
And on that note, that's going to wrap up today's Gallant and George show. Big thanks to Austin Rodriguez and for Sean Mapes. Big thanks to Joe George. Congratulations on returning for the show.
I'm back.
I am Barely Paul Gallant.
I didn't get fired.
So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle. Because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.